It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 15th day of March 2023. Beware the Ides of March. The Ides have come, but not yet gone. Yeah, it's funny how Pi Day is followed the next day by Caesar Die Day. Just one of those little things that pops into my mind from time to time. I'm utterly powerless over them. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, well, if you happen to pop by the Head On Radio Network chat room, headon.live, about right now, if you're in the wild, wacky, crazy, madcap, multimedia, zany extravaganza that it is, you'll have some good company there. And by that, I mean that you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky and Irish Dave. Hey, y'all. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Mathematician, Chief Agronomist, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Yes, the Ides of March. Hey. And a good time will be had by all. Hey, y'all, remember, please, pretty please, because we are making progress. It's amazing when you like and subscribe. It's amazing what happens. More people discover the program, and it's wonderful to welcome them into our community. So, again, like and subscribe, comment, mash that little heart button there on the TuneIn player. We are working on 800 listeners, likes, whatever, at TuneIn, and goal, you know, onward to four digits, yeah? So thanks to those of you who are doing it, and pretty please, if you haven't, give it a go if you're a podcast listener, because it helps out all the way around. So it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and before I get too far into anything, I need to begin this program as every program here begins, and that is with gratitude. And so, as such, we say thank you to our 15th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you to Robert. Thank you, Robert. And thank you to David in Oregon. Thank you so much. And thanks as well to our dear friend Jessica up in Minnesota. I had a note from Jessica. Who said, $15 in observance of the Ides of March. By the way, my paternal grandmother was an Ide, E-I-D-E. My grandmother was an Ide, I-D-A. We all called her Ide, I-D-E, I-D-I-E. And what the heck, another $5 for yesterday, which would have been Susan and I's fifth wedding anniversary. Being the nerds we are, we originally wanted to get married on Pi Day, March 14th, 3.14. But Mother Mayo decided to cancel all leave, vacations, etc., so they could train everyone on the new EPIC system en masse instead of multiple small training sessions. So we went with February 14th, Valentine's Day, instead. Been dealing with some shit because of my coworkers, because being a queer person, particularly a trans woman in a room with right-wing conservatives, is a wonderful combination. But I hope everyone in the Horn community congregation is having a relatively good day, and if anyone has $20 they can spare to match my $20, I'm sure Robin would appreciate it. Yes, she would. Anyway, that's the latest dispatch from the Greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. Later, y'all. Thanks, Jessica, and I hope you don't let the jackasses get you down. Please. Don't. But thanks. So that what that does is that takes us down to $570 for our fundraising goal. We had a little Tuesday community, Titanic Tuesday, Titanic Miracle yesterday, and it was so very much appreciated. So we're fully funded for all of last week, fully funded for Monday, and well, we're $20, not yet, no, $30 into yesterday, so thank you. Thanks so much, because that's how this all keeps going. So that being said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and we got some good, which is another way of saying bad, prayer meeting things to deal with today. And that being the case, well, the little old blue-haired men and the little old blue-haired women and the little old blue-haired Anbys got busy in the Fellowship Hall kitchen today. I guess they were feeling kind of Eastern European, because they whipped up a batch of haluskis, you know, cabbage rolls with that wonderful tomato sauce, and all kinds of different pierogies, potato and cheese, potato, onion and cheese, onion and potato, and of course my favorite, sauerkraut, and made a bunch of gravy to go with that. This was my cheat day, because there were lots of carbs, and we all enjoyed them immensely. They followed it up with a graham cracker crust lemon pie, kind of like key lime pie, only with lemons. I stayed away from that, but the deacons didn't. Oh no, the deacons dove on it with a will. There wasn't a crumb of graham cracker crumb crust left. Try saying that a lot fast. Graham cracker crumb crust. Crumb. Yeah. And then they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and out into the parking lot, where once again, they were standing out there. It was a little brisk today, but the sun was shining, and they were out there smoking with the sinners. Until I, once again, showed them the Horn Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, at which point they got with it and got their massive bulk moving again, and it is, oh Lord, a sight to behold when they do that. And they zipped and zoomed on right on past me and through the vestibule and past that desiccating bowl of buttermints and took a couple of swigs of hand sanitizer and came on down the center aisle, and well, they're standing right here in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. They've got their heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined collection plates in their hands, and they're just itching to start circulating it through the congregation. And so, that being the case, we will call the Minister of Music up and get started with the offertory hymn. Minister of Music, if you would please.
And he said, "It's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord."
Stop!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, wallah-wallah-bing-bang, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren and nibblings, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm calling on you right now to get up out of your seats, onto your feet, wiggle and waggle and woggle, and come on out from betwixt the pews and come on down that blood-red aisle. And fall on your knees, sinners, at the altar, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Naughty Nun. Let's see, aggravated, antagonized, autoerotic abbess, Robin Kincaid, and this is the Cathedral of Common Sense and Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we've got prayer meeting stuff. Yes, we do. And we'll get right to the heart of the matter. I had no idea that. Okay, but let me back up. This is what. So, today is the Ides of March. It is the anniversary of the murder of Julius Caesar in the temple Venus Victrix that was attached to the Theater of Pompey out on the Campus Martius. Magnificent Mother Superior. Yes, also that. Thanks, Steve. It was the first permanent theater building that had been built in Rome, because theaters were thought to be decadent and against the morals of an upright, bloodthirsty republic. And because in a previous riot, the actual Curia, the place where the Senate met in the Forum, had been torched and trashed, that's why the Senate met out on the Campus Martius. I've got a point here. This really does go somewhere. And so Caesar got up that morning. You know, he lived in public housing. I mean, that's literally what domus publica means. Public house. And he basically lived in daily contact with the Vestal Virgins. You know, he and Calpurnia. His wife. So he gets up on the morning of the Ides of March. He's got a Senate meeting because, well, he's planning on going off to make war on the Parthians again, or war on the Parthians, another war. He was done with Gaul. And he heads out down the Via Sacra
over the Capitolian Hill and out toward the Campus Martius. He was wanting to make war on the Parthians because the Parthians had killed one of his rivals and at one time friends, Marcus Licinius Crassus, who was quite possibly the richest man who has ever lived on planet Earth, even up until this day. Richer than Elmo Muskrat, even. And he was notorious, Crassus was, for his love of gold, so when he, at the head of his army, got his ass whipped by the Parthians, Parthian shot remains a term we still use to this day. Well, they captured Crassus, and knowing how much he loved gold, they gave him his surfeit of it by pouring the molten version down his throat. This pissed off Caesar, who then decided to get revenge. And hopefully some gold. That's why the Romans made war. Gold. Well, anyway. So that was what was up on the morning of the Ides of March, 44 BC. So let's see, 44, 47, 67, 2067 years ago. And of course, the Latin language was the lingua franca of the time, although the well-heeled spoke Greek. What was spoken on the street was Latin. And I mention all of this because, well, languages don't have genders, and languages certainly don't have sexualities. I've always loved learning languages. But, for instance, Latin does, as does Greek, Italian, all the Romance languages, German, nouns and adjectives have gender. One learns, for instance, that, curiously enough, in Latin, the word for woman, femina, excuse me, is a feminine noun. Homo hominis, the Latin for man, is a masculine noun. Farm, villa, is a feminine noun. The word for slave, servus, can be feminine, serva, masculine, ser. Either way, depending on who's being enslaved. So when you memorize your vocabulary, you have to memorize the gender of the noun, and then you have to get the adjective right, and it's all quite maddening when you start trying to parse all of this out. Mark Twain remarked upon it in The Awful German Language, trying to sort out the fact that the gender in the German language makes no more sense than the gender does in Latin. But you do have to memorize these things in order to be able to translate, because things can come out wildly different if you don't. Well, enter Daniel Cutsar of the Sure Foundation Baptist Church in Spokane, Washington. Now, he's one of these guys from the solid rock bunch, and it appears to be entirely a theology based upon hate. And now, Daniel Cutsar is terribly, terribly upset about a language learning app, you may have even used it yourself, called Duolingo. Why? Well, trigger warning, content warning. There's a lot of ugliness in this audio, but he will explain.
One game that I play right now, I kind of consider it a game because it is kind of fun. It's called Duolingo. But even Duolingo, you know, Duolingo has been
Wait, Duolingo's a game? Who's going to tell him?
Infiltrated by homosexuals. You know, they teach, you know, the worst thing that I saw, that they taught her, they teach a few times, you know, his husband, you know, and just stuff like that, you know. And it's like the good thing is that whenever I see something that's, you know, that's factory, you know, I kind of report it, like, this is wrong, this is incorrect, you know, I tell them that this is not right. And I every language is different that you learn, but, you know, Duolingo, you know, it has been, you know, infiltrated by facts, so you got to be careful. So I'm sure every game out there has been facts, right? You know, it's a new word. I'm sure every game out there, they put facts in there, they put whores in there, they put drugs, murder. So, you know, that stuff is not going to help you.
Okay, Daniel. Sure. Infiltrated by F-words. F-worditized. Ha ha ha, he laughed. And his husband's is enough to send him into paroxysms, spasms of some sort of theocratic frenzy. Yeah, the denomination is the New Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement. Oh, it's a movement, all right. See the peanuts? Oh, corn. So, preachers in that outfit constant, and it blows my mind. We shouldn't look at this and say, oh, well, you know, it's a fringe movement. Yeah, the bleeping, they bleeped out the slurs over at Hemant Mehta's Twitter page. I don't know how you infiltrate a language with homosexuality. Words just have, words mean things. I mean, I'm a longtime practitioner of the art of knowing words. This isn't his first rodeo in terms of trying to get attention with his hate. Because free speech, y'all. It's worth noting that if someone were to try to, because this is where we are, were to try to silence Daniel Kutsar, our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties on the court would side with the hate monger, because they're hate mongers too. He went on and said, I hope every sodomite dies. I hope every homosexual dies. I hope every F-word dies. And this shit is hard to bear. And I just want to take a moment to extend some solidarity and say I know a little bit about what a burden it is to carry the hate of other people. I'm sorry. But here's, you know, Daniel Kutsar thinks apparently that he's going to live forever. He's going to die too. And, you know, hopefully in a horrible, horrible, horrible way. With extended anguish and misery. Because, see, I don't have to play games about it. Because I don't buy into this magic madness. You know, there's an old saying, Hank Williams may probably came up with it first, and then the title of the biography of Jim Morrison is the same saying, no one here gets out alive. But Daniel Kutsar thinks there's going to be pie in the sky when he dies. And I guess it's no big deal. Up to and accepting for the fact that he tries to make other people's lives miserable. And this bunch, you know, it's not that different from, say, the Westboro Baptist Church. Remember them? During the height of George W. Bush's war against the innocent people of Iraq,
how they would protest soldiers' funerals by saying that the soldiers were burning in hell because they went to war for a country that doesn't slaughter gay people. You know, the American military. So this is just another spasm in that sense. Kutsar, not knowing much about gay people, said a lot of homosexuals, they're reprobates. They hate themselves. They kill themselves. Why? Because they hate their lives. Because they rejected God. They know that God rejected them. They know there's no hope. They know they're wicked, and they might even hate their lives. And that's why they commit suicide, which is great. I hope every single homosexual dies. Same to you, Buster. And you don't even have to hope for it. You know, to the pain, Daniel Kutsar, to the pain. And no. It's not about the self-loathing. And in fact, when one gets to the point where one lives authentically, whether it's sexuality or gender, a lot of happiness comes with that. A lot of happiness indeed. But this is America, where we cherish hate speech, and most particularly our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties cherish hate speech. So that's just kind of a starting place. But then there's this, and, well, I was actually thinking about our friend Jessica up in the Greater Rochester Municipal Co-Prosperity Sphere. Minnesota has a pretty decent government, state government. It is majority Democrat. Democratic governor, Democratic Senate, Democratic House. Because the majority of Minnesotans are apparently decent, but there are pockets of indecency in Minnesota. Because one particular area of Minnesota has, for 12 years, sent a guy named Steve Drazkowski. For 12 years, they sent him to the Minnesota House, and then they elevated him to the Minnesota Senate. He represents a place called Mazeppa. I'm guessing that must be a really weird little corner of Minnesota. But then again, remember, once upon a time, some Minnesotans lost their shit and they sent Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman to the Congress. She and her hubby. Yeah, I know, it gets so confusing, doesn't it, Brother Deacon Asa? Wait a damn minute, Asa says. I thought it was the Jews' fault all along. Now he's telling me it's the Sodomites? It depends on if the day has an R in it or not. This is a Wednesday, so, yeah, Sodomites, right? But Steve Drazkowski, of course, is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christian Republican. So that's why when a bill came up to feed hungry children, this Christian said, "Aw, hell no." Really? Yeah.
Mr. President, I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that is yet today.
Hungry. The word we missed there was hungry.
I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that is yet today. I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that says they don't have access to enough food to eat. Now, I should say that hunger is a relative term, Mr. President. You know, I had a cereal bar for breakfast. I guess I'm hungry now. To some, maybe that's the definition of the bill. I don't know. I didn't see a definition of hunger in the bill, Mr. President. But I think most reasonable people suggest hunger means you don't have enough to eat in order to provide for metabolism and growth.
That's actually the definition of hunger. But this Christian says that hungry people in Minnesota don't exist because he's never seen one. Of course, considering how pale and pasty he is, I'm guessing he probably lives in a pretty nice community where he doesn't see much of anybody. You know, one of those places where you don't know your neighbors. And the thing is, the bill in Minnesota was aimed at feeding more kids. Because there are hungry kids in Minnesota, just like there are in the United States of America. If there was any good that came out of the COVID pandemic, it was that for once, for a brief period of time with the expanded child tax credit, the government of the United States lifted a record number of people out of poverty and out of hunger briefly, and then plunged them back in. That happened just this month as food stamps got slashed. And frankly, there's a nonprofit organization out there called Feeding America that notes that there are more than 300,000 Minnesotans of all ages who deal with hunger on a daily basis. Here's the good news. The bill passed. Its name was HF5. And Tim Walz, the governor, will sign it into law. Of that 340,000 hungry Minnesotans, a third of those are children, over 100,000. And this takes aim at in-school meals. Because just like any other state in the United States, there are lots of children who are on either free or reduced price lunches. Because among other things, a lot of homes in this country are unable to adequately feed children. There's an anti-childhood hunger campaign called No Kid Hungry. And they show 13% of children in Minnesota living in food insecure homes. Hunger is relative. I have a feeling Steve Drazkowski, well, right. Senator Heather Gustafson tweeted, one in five students, that's 20%, in Senator Drazkowski's district qualify for free and reduced lunch. But Minnesota nice is a thing, and people didn't really savage him that much. Heather Gustafson, for instance, didn't refer to him in terms that he richly deserves to be referred to in. In 2022 alone, 5.5 million people, people visited Minnesota food pantries 5.5 million times. There, that makes more sense. And that number is the highest it has ever been, according to Hunger Solutions Minnesota. The total number of visits to food pantries by people under the age of 18 went up by more than half. But this is so peak Republican. It's so absolutely, utterly, entirely, and completely Republican. Because Drazkowski wasn't the only one who was throwing a fit about the bill. Because Republican conservatism. Well, that's just too much money. We're going to be spending all this money on all these hungry people. Fuck them. I know. Wrong accent. But, well, it's who they are. And it's why this Republican House of Representatives won't go along with the idea of extending the expanded child tax credit so we can keep the kids, so we could keep the kids who had come out of hunger and poverty out of hunger and poverty. Nope. Sorry. Of course not. And Steve in New York says, are you fucking kidding me? This fucker's quibbling over whether hungry children exist. Someone needs to tell that motherfucker that Jesus said, suffer the little children, not make the little children suffer. Hold a sec. He really was quibbling over hungry children? Yes. Oh, he's a silver-haired, silver-tongued devil, isn't he? And by the way, the district that he represents, I have later found out, Mazeppa is in southeast Minnesota. District 20. So maybe, and this is, you know, this is always such a challenge in politics, getting poor people to actually go out and vote in their best interests. We've had the best interest conversation before. That's not where I'm going. But getting them out to the polls and saying, by the way, did you know that the senator for your district hates your damn guts? Because he's a Republican, and he does. Adding on to fuck this guy, Steve says, what we should do is this. Every kid who goes to school, private or public school, should get free breakfast and lunch. Yes, I mean every kid, rich, poor, whatever. That way, every kid has a full belly so they can worry about how to add 2 + 2 instead of worry about how to make sure nobody hears their tummy growling. Also, for those kids who really can't afford to eat, no stigma. All of which is true. And that's kind of the goal of the expanded funding in Minnesota. But of course, well, paranoia has always found a warm and cozy home in the Republican Party. And so consequently, there were some Republicans who were bleating and braying about how this is just the government trying to control what our children eat when we want them to eat patriotic garbage. But the government wants them to eat things like fruits and vegetables, and we all know that leads to communism, doesn't it? Yes, it does. They really do. Republicans really, they can babble and burble all they want to about patriotism, how they love America. But they don't. They love whatever it is that America can do for them. That whole ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Yeah, no, that's not a Republican virtue or a value, not by any stretch of the imagination. I've been in meetings where teachers talk about how they prepare food backpacks for children on Fridays so that they will have something to eat over the weekend because otherwise they do not. And yeah, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, that Matthew 25 stuff, well, feeding the hungry is one of the biggies as far as Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life was concerned. But I guess that's not in Steve Drazkowski's Bible, is it? No, no, hell no. And then because it is 2023 and this is the political climate in which we live, this little moment of fun and sunshine. Bethany Mandel is a white wing writer who has a who's been published in a number of publications. And so yesterday morning, she showed up on a program that's run by the publication The Hill, their morning show called Rising. She was interviewed by Breonna Joy Gray. You can imagine comedy ensued, because it did. Because being a white winger, she can't say anything but woke! Woke! It's all so woke! Here with the audio.
Of Americans consider themselves very liberal, and probably fewer of them consider themselves to be woke. And so, you know, when we talk about traditional...
What does that mean to you? Would you mind defining woke? Because it's come up a couple times, and I just want to make sure.
Yeah, she'd only said it like 17,000 times in the... And Breonna Joy Gray... This is like being at the bridge of death and being asked, what is the airspeed of an unladen swallow? It's a complete flummox. And Breonna Joy Gray is just so innocent when she asks the question. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What does that mean to you? Would you mind defining woke? Because it's come up a couple times, and I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So, I mean, woke is...
Yeah. You can almost see the steam coming out of Bethany Mandel's ears. Wheels turning and stuff, gears grinding, things making scratchy, scrapey sounds.
Sort of the idea that this is going to be one of those moments that goes viral. I mean, woke.
Why, yes, Bethany, it is, and it has, because you're an idiot. You're just a nasty little bigot. Once again, we have established once and for all time, that any time a white winger says woke, they're thinking any number of words, one of which, well, never mind. Viral. That's where we were. She was at Viral.
This is going to be one of those moments that goes viral. I mean, woke is something that's very hard to define, and we've spent an entire...
No, it's not hard to define at all, Bethany. The problem is the actual definition of woke is a pretty good thing to be. Because it means to be aware of systems of oppression, of brutalization, of the bloody history of this country. And, you know, you can talk about it, and the fact that this country has a bloody history does not mean it is entirely bad or evil. But when there are bad and evil things in one's history, it is good to know about them so as not to repeat them, because as George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Never mind learning from. White-wing Republicans, which is to say Republicans, don't want people knowing that history.
Entire chapter defining it. It is sort of the understanding that we need to totally reimagine and redo society in order to create hierarchies of oppression.
No, that's not it at all, dipshit.
Sorry, It's hard to explain in a 15-second soundbite.
Yeah.
Take all the time you need, Bethany.
Take your time.
Oh, I got to look up the rest of that interview, because that's got to be a real Lulu. Yeah. And it's not just a euphemism for political correctness either. It's a way of examining. It's a way of examining oppression and maybe trying not to do that anymore. Steve notes, Bethany, let me help you out with what you're actually thinking. Fuck if I know. It sells. Yeah. I know. Oh, and Steve, going back to the Minnesota hunger bill. And frankly, what Steve Drazkowski would like to have is Hunger Games. May the odds be ever in your favor. Steve says, sorry, but this really has me fuming. You know what this really is? It's not about anything but this. My kids can eat. Fuck your kids. This is what happens when Reaganism, Thatcherism, Bushism, Trumpism infects us. It was Thatcher who actually said, there's no such thing as society. As Frank Turner wrote, Thatcher fucked the kids. You can add any Republican in there, too. By the way, I never use the word unbelievable regarding these people. There is nothing unbelievable about what comes out of these people's mouths. They, if you listen, they will tell you who the hell they are. You're right, Steve. And this from Kyle on a couple of topics. Hi, Kyle. Starting out, school lunch debt. We spend almost $1 trillion on the military every year, but there's such a thing as school lunch debt in this country. Just let that sink in. And then quit talking about Jesus feeding the poor. He's too busy hating the wokes. Then as to Bethany Mandel, she literally started off by lying about how many people give a shit about the suffering of others. She thinks on the whole, this is a hateful country. Hope everyone caught that. Then finally, subject line, dumb fuck. No one ever accused racists of being smart. And ain't that the truth? Oops. Sorry, I didn't disappear. I had to plug something up. Over at Midas Touch, Ben Mizalis. And thank you to Ralph serving as the Bethany Mandel Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Ben Mizalis at Midas Touch decided to take this one on, too. Wrong button.
Looking short-circuited on live television when she was asked a very basic question by the host. The host, Breonna Joy Gray, asked the MAGA Republican, Bethany Mandel, hey, you've written all about woke and wokeness, so for all of our viewers out there, can you define the word woke? Can you define wokeness? Well, it wouldn't shock you that Bethany Mandel could not define it. Not only that, but she short-circuited and froze on live TV. Watch what happens.
Half Americans consider themselves very liberal, and probably fewer of them consider.
And that's the same clip we just had. I'm just curious to see if there's a takedown. Nope. Ben Mizalis had the same clip I did. Well, she sounds nice. Not at all. Matt in San Francisco said, Bethany, I think her brain actually short-circuited. Explain beyond the talking points. Does not compute. Abandoned mission.
Abandoned. <yeah.
laughs> Does not compute. Abandoned mission. And everybody knows that Bethany Mandel threw the first brick at Stonewall. See what you started, Matt? Adding, Matt does, other people's hate. I look at it this way, Robin. Having been hated since I can remember, you can tell a lot about someone by who hates them. I mean, seriously, the Nazis are not on our side, sister, so odds are in our favor. That's a great way to look at it. Hate says more, you know, for when there's one finger pointing at you, there's four pointing back at the other. I'm counting a thumb as a finger before somebody writes an email. Five fingers on every hand, and a thumb. No, the thumb too. I mean, you know, you do. Well, okay, three, because the thumb doesn't point. You know what I meant. Thanks, Ralphs. Thanks so much. Ralph said, oh, well, I tried. And the home of anti-woke is, of course, Florida, where Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who has vast dictatorial powers as governor, is now moving to take liquor licenses away. So yesterday, he filed an administrative complaint through the Department of Business and Professional Regulation against the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Miami. He wants to take away their liquor license because kids got to go to the Christmastime drag show at the James L. Knight Center. And the Hyatt Regency Miami has the liquor license at that venue. One right-wing piece of shit said, get woke, go broke. And there was a claim that the drag queens were being sexually deviant in front of the children, which they weren't. It's all just a nasty little smear campaign. Well, that's going to go great. You know what the Hyatt Regency can do? Leave Florida. Close them all. The Hyatt Regency will be just, that hotel chain will be just fine without Florida. The James L. Knight Center. Close it. Well, maybe they can't close that. They can close the hotel. And then they can tell all of the employees at the Hyatt Regency Miami why they're out of work. And maybe then those people will do something about it. I don't know. Scary Jerry's down in that neck of the woods. Maybe he knows a little more about it. I had a note from Scary Jerry. Memoirs from Armageddon, Postcards from the Apocalypse, Robin 1-1. They say that the New Testament is a collection of personal letters to friends, curated, encouraging letters to friends amidst the fall of empire. There and there, they apostrophe R-E and T-H-E-R-E, is a lot of backstory. I'll save you a lot of hullabaloo and just get to it. This is the opposite of spontaneous. I wrote this out of a dead sleep this morning. I've had a massive vowel movement. Really? Vowel movement? On to the excerpt. I got to see it. The end of the world, the end of the empire, like Icarus with a glue and sun problem. It was as if a bird or a missile or an asteroid had just passed its horizon, its epoch, its zenith, and hung on a ledge or edge timelessly moments before crashing back to Earth. The end of empire is completely different. Looking down the tunnel of time, you can imagine some conscripted Roman citizen drinking from the lead-tainted public trough and musing to himself, I don't know how we got here, but right now everything is stupid. Fucking Vandals and Mongols and Celts and Gauls and Picts and, yeah, several species of small furry animals grooving in a cave with a Pict. One of my favorite song titles of all time. Empiring is hard. Running the world. Hard. As a citizen of the empire, you develop the ability to pay attention to both payloads and porn stars. Exploding chemical plants and blunt cigar wrap logistics. It became second nature. We were always bombing people, fucking people for money. It's what the empires did. It's what the Seventh-day Adventurers did. Apocalypse Watch. We invented doom-scrolling. The end of the world was our jam. We are the world hipsters. We are end of the world hipsters. OG vegans. Our prophetess was a white girl after a man of color turned down God and preaching the idea he presented. I don't hate that guy, though. This country kills black guys generally. And peace-talking, socialist-sounding workers needing Saturday off to go pray like Jews and shit? Oh, fuck that. N-word. From earth to heaven, I will solemnly declare that guy, that black guy, made an understandable choice. There ain't no future for true prophets of color talking shit about the ruling, ruining class here in God Bless America. Nope. Even Jesus ran away from political talk. He checked all the kill a prophet profile boxes, so he sidestepped the render unto Caesar question. Thing is, and you pearl clutchers start clutching, God is an asshole. Scary Jerry, that's brilliant. All of it. Every word. And, of course, there's a reason that I refer to you-know-who as the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Because, as Scary Jerry said, God is an asshole. I saw a post on Reddit the other day. Someone asking, can you be trans and Christian? And I answered just honestly, yeah. I just don't know why anyone would want to be. The misogyny, the generalized hatred. I got my skinny little ass downvoted for that. I don't understand. There you go. I mean, some of the teachings of Jesus, he said, sure. I mean, that whole feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the heal the sick, visit the imprisoned. I'm entirely down with that. But I don't buy into the idea of the Christianity that Saul of Tarsus marketed to the rest of the world. And since I did start out talking about the Ides of March, one little observation. All over the Mediterranean world of 2,047 years ago, there were statues of Gaius Julius Caesar. There had also been statues of Gnaeus Pompeius, otherwise known as Pompey the Great. And they both bore the same legend, common savior of humanity. And it occurred to me today as I was posting the annual Ides of March picture of a bottle of Caesar dressing with a steak knife through it. It occurred to me that had that common savior of humanity idea persisted, we'd all be walking around with little daggers hanging from our necks instead of crosses. Same, you know, instrument of murder. And then Kyle, coming back, you're not wrong. Subject line, drinking game. If a Republican says the word woke was a drinking game, we'd all be dead. And then piggybacking off of Matt, work story. To piggyback off Matt about how the odds are in our favor, I have a funny story with a good ending from my job. One of our manager trainees was caught posting vile messages on social media, and in the midst of the investigation, my coworkers and I, mostly the minors I work with, began to not do what she asked of them in a way that wouldn't get them fired. She grew so frustrated with this that she quit 2 days ago. We all threw a little party. But just a little micro example that pressure does work and racists and homophobes are cowards at their core. Good for you, Kyle, and good for your coworkers. I'm proud of you all. And going back to hunger in Minnesota, hunger, yes, I've been there, Stephen New York says. When I was in first grade, school lunch was 45 cents. I remember sometimes scrounging to come up with that. I vividly recall one time having to gather, scrounge up 45 pennies to make sure I could eat. And not asking this of you, Steve, but why? Well, because everything gets turned into capitalism. School lunches today, well, okay, let me back up. School lunches when our kids were in school were bad. There was a time, and a dear friend of mine was actually a lunch lady down in Boone County, West Virginia. And she'd be at work at like 4:30 in the morning making homemade biscuits. God, her biscuits. Oh, they're so good. Biscuits and gravy. Stop it. But that went the way of all flesh back when we decided that children were not worth investing in decent nutrition. And kids were being fed food that was made from what were called, I remember doing the story 20 years ago, downer cattle. When a cow gets so sick at the CAFO, the concentrated animal feeding operation, tough on dinner in both the Eastern and Central time zones. But when a cow gets so sick that it can no longer stand and it just dies, those are called downer cattle. And so they're not useful for things like steaks, prime rib, whatnot. But they are useful for things like beef with barley soup or Dinty Moore beef stew. I don't know if it's particularly Dinty Moore. Jesus, beef, it's for dinner, people. You lost against Oprah. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But so they will literally bring a forklift or a front end loader, and they will pick the cow up and take it to be slaughtered and basically part it out for generic inclusion as meat in things like soup, canned stew. Probably feed it to the troops, too, if you think about it. Subject line, dinner. Kyle. Damn it, Robin, I was going to eat tonight. I'm sorry. Blame it on the funny way my brain works. But yeah, down in Florida, they went so far back in December as to threaten the Orlando Philharmonic Plaza Foundation that they were going to lose their license if they let kids attend a drag queen Christmas event. Melanie Griffin, no, really, is the Department of Business and Professional Regulation Secretary. She is a noxious creature, a minion of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. And she said to the Orlando Philharmonic Plaza Foundation, sexually explicit drag show performances constitute public nuisances, lewd activity, and disorderly conduct when minors are in attendance. If you allow children to attend the drag fans drag show at your facility, you are putting your license in jeopardy. Okay, so what happens if they're not sexually explicit? Because drag events that have children at them aren't sexually explicit. But see, the problem is the bigots think that drag queens are sexually explicit just by being drag queens. And yet somehow or another, they never bat an eyelash at big old muscle-bound, roided-up professional wrestlers walking around with bulging crotches and making moves on other wrestlers where faces wind up in those same crotches while minors are present. Well, that's masculine. That's cool. Is it? Back to school lunches. Flavio says, school lunches here in the United States are veritable child abuse. They farm the contracts out to the lowest bidder. It's just gross. In Michael Moore's documentary, Where to Invade Next, they show school lunches in France. What a contrast. Actual food and no 20-minute lunches. Lunch is a class unto itself. You mentioned, Michael Moore, that you can see the same thing when it's an episode of No Reservations when Anthony Bourdain visits a school lunchroom, I think, in Lyon. And those little French kids are fed, because France, white tablecloth Michelin star meals. And somehow or another, France manages to continue to be a going concern. Beats the dickens out of me. But we've passed the first hour of the program. We have $570 to raise. And by the way, I keep trying, and Brother Deacon Asa tries to help me figure out a different way to say, like and subscribe, y'all. But that's the bottom line. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment for the algorithms, because it really is changing things. Podcast downloads are going up. More people are being exposed to the show. And it helps. And I'm going to start keeping track of how many new likes we have on TuneIn. Because when the algorithms see these upticks, then the algorithms start suggesting the show to other people. And by the way, the rules still obtain. Right-wingers are not allowed on this program. You can go and talk to Charlie Kirk or little neo-maxi-zoom-dweeby Ben, my wife is dry Shapiro, or somebody like that. You're welcome to listen, though. It would be great if you little deadbeat right-wingers would cough up a few bucks. It spends. Matt says, drag? Sexy? If you saw all the tape, padding, corsets, and other construction material under my drag, trust me, no one would be turned on. You don't have to do drag for some of those things, Matt. I've learned the hard way. But it's true. I was talking to a queen about what she did to pad out her fanny. She's like, oh, I use upholstery foam. Like, well, that makes sense. But yeah, it's no. And the larger point, Matt, is what's there to see if one strips out of that? I mean, that's like a magician telling how the magician does the tricks. You don't want to spoil the illusion. But here we are. Downer Cows, Jeremy in Vermont, says, well, if Halliburton did such an electric job with the showers for our troops in the Iraq, such as, then why wouldn't we use Downer Cows in their MREs? That was a panel from a Doonesbury strip from back in that era. I'll have a Halliburger with cheese. That'll be $29. Because that was true. Halliburton was charging. And then there was the kitchen inspections. Remember those? The bloody, rotting meat in the refrigerator? Because my brain hung on to that, somewhat to my chagrin. Right. Oh, and a couple of get well soons. I heard from our dear friend Roxanne out in Utah today. She sent me a message telling me how much she appreciated the little freeform poem that I read last week on International Women's Day. And it just made my day to hear from her. She said, your tribute to the women in your life on International Women's Day was so powerful and beautiful. I wanted to thank you. But along the way, she added, she said, I broke my hip on March 4th and can't get to my computer to write a snail mail. And signed off, one-legged Roxanne. Roxanne, I know all of this community's membership is wishing you the very best and hopes you get back to walking about in fully functional fashion even sooner than maybe your dearest hope. And it was lovely to hear from you, except for the broken hip part that just, oh, fills me with such sadness. And Roxanne, by the way, is reading right now a wonderful, wonderful book, one of my favorites, Thunder in the Mountains by Lon Savage. When I wrote back, I told her it should be taught in school. And it should, as part of an overall labor history class. And then another big get well soon goes out to our pal Megan. Megan, who has been busting her ass on her degree, did it in a different way today. Megan told me earlier today that she fell down some icy steps today at work and that she's got fractures in both her left wrist and her ankle as a result. That's all bad enough, but it's thrown her world into complete turmoil. She said it was 2 days before my birthday. Well, happy birthday day after tomorrow. We will be thinking of you. Megan added, I was supposed to go out of town. Now I'm trying to make specialist appointments and coordinating with workers' comp and doctor's offices. Right now, because healthcare in America... Right now, I can go see a doctor for both in Delaware tomorrow afternoon, but I would still need possibly my hand specialist appointment in Northern Virginia on Friday because the leg specialist is demanding I get all the workers' comp before I can make an appointment. I've been on the phone all day. I'm tired and overwhelmed as fuck. My house in Virginia has stairs. My mom out in Delaware has a one-story. I just don't know what the fuck to do. Earliest leg appointment was Tuesday at 3 in Virginia, but that means trying to go up and down stairs all weekend. Megan, I'm so sorry. And like Roxanne, all the good energies, all the healing thoughts, all the good vibes go to you and Roxanne for a quick healing. This being prayer meeting Wednesday, there still won't be any laying on hands here, okay? But we hope the very best. All of us do. For both of you. And the best of luck negotiating the godforsaken hellscape that is workers' comp. Because, well, workers' comp is artificially made unnecessarily awful. Because the employers want it that way. Just a second. Okay, All right, then. Let's let's check in over on the Skype line. I hope Scott has sorted out his audio issues. Kind of worried about you, Scott. Are you there?
Esten.
Yes. Esten. Yes.
Hear me?
Is this thing on?
Microphone. Irking. Anyway. Yeah. I guess I did get it sorted out. Am I coming through loud and clear?
You know, you're a little muddy, but you're okay.
Okay, well, nothing can be done about it. How about now? Is that better?
No, you're fine. You're fine as it is.
Okay. Well, I wish I were fine as it is, Robin. I have been so under the weather.
Maybe that's what the audio is. Maybe it's like your sinuses or something.
No, I'm sure it's not my, has a wrong end. I've just not been well. I've had some sort of stomach thing going on for 4 or 5 days now, and I'm really tired of it.
I can imagine.
But I think I'm turning the corner. Yesterday I was feeling the best I felt, you know, since the onset. And today I've been kind of laid back, and I was leaning back in the recliner about an hour and a half ago, watching an old YouTube video of Firing Line with William F. Buckley. His guest was E. Howard Hunt, and it must not have been very riveting because I just zoned right the fuck out. And the next thing I knew, it was like 3:05, and I said, "Well, I better." Get a little coffee into me and call Robin to let her know I hadn't fallen off the edge of the planet. So,
did you sort out? I mean, I'm not just blowing past you feeling like crap, but you know, you tried to get into Friday on the Front Porch, and it was that same problem we had had like on the previous Tuesday. Do you know what it was? You old radio hound, you.
What was it?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you knew, and you're going to tell me. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I just, for some reason, devices, there was an old Twilight Zone episode. God, who was the actor that was in it? I can't think of who it was. The character actor that was in every fucking thing. But he disdained modern technology, you know, TVs, radios, vacuum cleaners, electric shavers and stuff. And one day the devices ganged up on him. Can't think of the guy's name, though. I can see him. He's got that sort of hangdog look about him. Well, that could be anybody. Hell, at this point, that could be me. James, something along the lines of Milholland. But I can't think of a thing that was in, but it has been in everything. So. But anyway, yeah, I just, it's no fun being ill. I was telling my older brother the other night when I was talking to him, I don't do it well. Some people enjoy being ill from time to time. I don't. Hang on, I'm...
I've never met one of those people.
Oh, you never met my grandma. My mom's mom. She had the fucking Spanish flu.
Well, I mean, there's Munchausen syndrome.
She had the Spanish flu in 1918, and she never had a right day ever since. Well, hang on. Well, let me put a little milk in my coffee. I'm going to sit down.
That's fine. Well, you mentioning that Twilight episode reminded me of something else. There's a great post-World War II comedy. We did it when I was in high school. Called Tea House of the August Moon.
Yeah, I saw the movie years ago, but
and the movie in which Marlon Brando plays a Japanese man. Great casting decision, right up there with John Wayne as Genghis Khan. Or who was it? Jeffrey Hunter as Geronimo. Was it Jeffrey Hunter?
Well, they'll never outdo John Wayne as the, I think it was King of Kings. At the crucifixion.
Oh, no, that was the greatest story ever told.
Okay.
He said he had one line. Surely this man was the son of God. And the director yelled, cut! and said, you know, this is one of the seminal moments in the story of Jesus, Duke. You got to convey that. It needs more. Well, it needs more punch. It needs more awe and action. And John Wayne stands there and says, oh, surely this man was the Son of God. But no, that play, Tea House of the August Moon, I don't know whether you would call him the protagonist, but his name is Captain Fisby. And it's all about the occupation of Okinawa. And at one point in the play, Captain Fisby declares, machines hate me. They're not inanimate objects. They're full of malice and ill will. And that has stuck with me all these years because there are many occasions where I've felt exactly that.
Yeah. Well, and there are people who do not get along well with devices.
And you talk about an actor with a kind of a hangdog visage. The guy who played the colonel, Fisby's commanding officer in the film, was a great character actor of the era named Paul Ford.
Oh, yes.
That's who I thought of immediately when you started talking about an actor, Paul Ford.
Yeah. God, he was the... wasn't he the air tower... the air traffic control tower supervisor in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
That sounds right.
When they, who was it? Jim Backus had the plane, and Mickey Rooney and Buddy Hackett. He goes back in the back of the plane to make old fashions, and either Mickey or Buddy are flying the plane, and they turn the stick a certain way, and he falls back and knocks himself out. He's zonked out in the back of the plane, and these poor guys are trying to get to wherever they're going.
That is I've said it before, that is one of the most stressful, hilarious movies of all time.
Yeah,
I know they tried to remake it, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that a movie called, was it Rat Race? Around 2000.
Yeah, I think that was.
There's no way that there's, it was, and it's too bad too, because with today's crop of comedians and comic actors, they could do a hell of a remake on that thing, but why mess with perfection is my thought.
Well, but remember, they also tried to remake Casablanca. Twice.
When? I would have heard about that.
Nah, I think it was like in the 80s or 90s. Yeah, 80s, maybe.
Who played...
I don't remember. It was utterly forgettable.
Well, it would have to be.
And as much as I love and revere Ted Turner, colorizing Casablanca was one of the most awful ideas he ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, and if he had gotten away with his plan, he was going to take all of the brilliant Technicolor movies and put them into black and white, which would have been truly awful.
What? No.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
I'm just kidding with you. But anyway, I just I'm a little short on news today because I have frankly not been paying a bit of attention to anything.
That's probably good for you once in a while.
Normally I try to stay on top of things, but I get to the point where I just, what is the point of even keeping up with it? Go a week, have yourself a news fast. I know you can't do it, but to those who are in a position to do it, every now and then have yourself a 1 week news fast and then go back to the real world, you know, refreshed and ready to go for another round or two.
God knows I need a vacation, but I haven't needed one of those for years.
Well, something needs to be done about that, and I don't know how to even proceed.
Yeah, I don't think I can do a GoFundMe, you know, send Robin to the beach, because most of the places where I'd go to the beach aren't really safe for me now.
Because the closest thing you have to a vacation, and that's really stretching to your word, is doing a, you know, going out of town like to D.C. or Philadelphia or New York or wherever,
yeah,
for a purpose. And if you're able to do it, doing the show on the road. And that's not even a busman's holiday. So anyway, what are we going to do about this DeSantis fellow?
There are some people who are beginning to say, based on his really monumentally dumb response about Ukraine, yeah, which of course plays to the maggot base real well, but not so much with most of America. There are some people who are saying that he will eventually implode. And I want to think it's true, but I also remember when people said the same thing about Nitwit Nero.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and here it is, what is it, not quite April of 2023. It's going to be a long freaking election campaign season.
Yeah, it's going to be a damn slog.
And he doesn't wear well. At least with Trump, there was every so often a modicum of entertainment value, because he was just that stupid, you know? But you don't get that with DeSantis.
Well, like I said, some people think that he will implode. But the other side of the coin is that it's going to be awfully hard for him to win by playing solely to the maggot base. And what plays in Florida don't necessarily play above, you know, outside maggot states. I'm sure they think he's the neatest thing since sliced bread in other stand states, Alabama, Mississippi stand, what have you. But that's a long way from 270 electoral votes.
And it's the recurring problem of you've got to be a certain way during primary season so that you ensure yourself of the nomination. And how do you revert back to something that has appeal to people who are not crazy? You get what I mean? I mean, not all.
Well, right. Everything he does is nuts and fascist. Well,
it's worse than nuts and fascist. It's. I would like to know who his consultant is, or who writes his stuff, or who is advising him, because there's a certain line that you cross along the way, that if you cross that line, there's no coming back to sit at the grown-ups table again. You know, it's the primary season versus the general, and if you're a batshit crazy during the primary season in order to be nominated by your party or what's left of it, it's hard to come back from that in any useful way. You're always going to have your core group of people that are going to vote for you regardless. But I do not. Normally, I'm like a sports fan when election time comes around. You know, the 4-year cycle. But the past couple of cycles, I've just like, here we go again. Whoop dee doo. You know.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to get a head of steam up for any of it.
Oh, by the way, we got a note from Clarence. Hey, Clarence. Tell Scott I think he is talking about James Gregory, a great character actor. This guy was cast in a shitload of 50s, 60s, and 70s film and TV.
No, it wasn't James Gregory. He was on My Favorite Martian. And wasn't he on, what was that cop show? Wasn't he on Barney Miller as the head of, you know, the chief of police or whatever?
Oh, no, the inspector.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's not him.
Now, let me look this guy's name up because it's going to drive us all crazy. Tap dance a while I do this.
Because
I'm not good at typing and...
Oh, we're the folks, the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
Let's see if I... That's one of the great things about... That's one of the great things about not Google, but the internet. No, that is his name. Computer, don't argue with me. Hold on here. Come on and talk while I'm doing this because it's dead air is in the map.
Well, maybe. Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Casablanca Research Department just sent me a link. The many film adaptations of Casablanca.
Well, I can't find it, Robin. I'm sorry. I'm not much good to anybody today. I might as well just go back to bed.
There was a Hindi film called Arman, which is basically a straight-up ripoff of Casablanca. Bugs Bunny did Carrot Blanca in 1995.
Well, you know, no movie is a classic unless Bugs Bunny has done a version of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But this doesn't mention the one that I read. It seems like 70s or 80s, somewhere in there. This might be of some interest. Thonny Willis's grand jury down in Fulton County, Georgia, you know, the Atlanta area, has apparently... played another, or the grand jury has heard yet another phone call of Nitwit Nero trying to bring the heat to get someone to dummy up the Georgia results for him. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the special grand jury that investigated Trump heard a call where he tried to strong-arm the Georgia Speaker of the House, David Ralston, to convene a special session of the Georgia legislature to throw out the certified election victory. He was basically, in essence, trying to pull the same stunt that they tried to pull out in Arizona Stan. But the one of the grand jurors who spoke to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said that Ralston shut Trump right the hell down. Ralston basically cut the president off. He said, I'll do everything in my power that I think is appropriate. He just basically took the wind out of his sails.
And this was in Georgia.
Yeah. And it's worth remembering that the Georgia legislature is now, or has been, trying to pass a bill, maybe has passed a bill, that lets the governor do what... Monkey Up did down in Florida and just remove prosecuting attorneys on a whim because they desperately want to get rid of Fannie Willis so that she can't indict the orange shit stain.
It gets curiouser and curiouser, I think. It's they're going to rewrite civics textbooks after this.
Oh, I think you're right.
If they have them at all, I mean, I don't. And I know.
This is judicial and legislative vandalism.
Well, it's. This may not be an appropriate term nowadays, but banana republic techniques come to mind. It's like some, you know, everybody wants to be a dictator. What happened to the American way of doing things where everybody plays by the same set?
Well, it's not fashionable anymore.
Well, fuck fashionable. I'm not even talking about fashionable. I guess it's dangerous. First of all, when you get out of the habit of doing the right thing, it's amazing how easily you can avoid it, and actually engage in even worse behavior. It's like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but it's just not safe. It's not safe for the future or the people to get to the point where nothing, you can't rely on anything anymore. And what gets me and has gotten me for some years, I know the Republicans haven't been like, you know, upright and virtuous in the last 50 years. That pretty much goes without saying. But at least at one time, there was a time when the majority of them behaved in a manner consistent with American values and civics and not being an asshole, you know? And the ship has sailed. I mean, if you had talked to me 10 years ago, I might have been somewhat more optimistic in my assertions. But I'm almost at the point. And the ones who have been really rooting for me to just go off the deep end and be so disillusioned. Actually, it's not a bad thing to be disillusioned. Maybe my problem is, I have bought into illusions, these many years. So I'm out of that habit now. I'm looking at it with, you know, instead of rose-colored glasses, I'm looking at stuff more realistically than I might have 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. Well, you've heard the evolution. I mean, what did they used to call me? The relentless optimist?
Yes, you were the Horns resident, relentless optimist.
The hell happened to him?
Me?
Bring him back.
Me, I happened. it's my fault, it's on me.
No, I think circumstances have played a...
Well, 2016 to 2021 sent the good ship Optimism sailing with a hole in its hull.
Yeah. Tell me about it. So, I don't know. I just don't. I need to go in for regrouping. That's what it is.
I was wondering when we were going to get around to the regrouping.
Put me up on the rack and
put him in the pulsifer and pulsify him for a while.
Give me a, you know, lube up all 23 of my critical joints and put in a couple of fresh quarts of oil and send me on my way. Happy motoring. Anyway, what time is it now? It's about 20 minutes to 4. I foolishly...
Maybe where you are.
Well, yeah, I placed an order and it's supposed to be bringing it to me between 4 and 6. So...
Well, let me know if the knock comes at the door. Now, it's Wednesday. Is that leaf blower day?
Well, no, it's been raining. We've had a couple of days of rain, so they're not...
Okay, that makes sense because I... You met her. Remember Tamara?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, I saw a tweet from her a couple of days ago that was a picture of blue sky in San Diego, and she went, "Blue sky for a change," or something like that. And I was like, "Wait a minute, you're in San Diego."
Yeah.
But no, the atmosphere. Good God, what did I see? 850,000 people in California out of power as a result of the latest atmospheric river?
Yeah. Now, is that a new thing? I don't recall growing up hearing about atmospheric rivers. Now, granted, I lived on the other coast.
I think it's a more media-friendly term because, you know, we like sensationalist terminology in our weather. I mean, I remember, 11 years ago when us hillbillies learned about derechos.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as straight-line winds that often have the force of a tornado without the funnel cloud. So I don't know. I don't think atmospheric rivers just became a thing. Maybe once upon a time they would have just called them fronts. Or maybe this is a new thing and it's just got... And it's new because it's just a massive amount of airborne precipitational potential that was ginned up by climate change.
Well, it used to be... more often than not, at least in this part of California, the most boring part of the nightly news, the local news, was the weather, because nothing really changes.
Right. That's why the best job in the world used to be said to be being a weatherman in San Diego. That's why Will Ferrell made a wacky ass comedy out of it.
What was that called?
The Weatherman.
Was that what it was?
Yes. Stay classy, San Diego.
I've never really been a fan of his work. I'm sorry, but there's something creepy about him.
Well, I'm that way about.
It's not my cup of tea.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I can take or leave him. Although there was a movie.
I liked him in The Wedding Singer.
A couple of years ago, he was, I can't remember the name of it, but it had something to do with jewels. Like a diamond heist or some sort of jewelry heist.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know. I don't recall the name, but somebody's going to tell me.
Yeah. God, I am just not with it today.
You're okay. You know, sometimes when you call in and you're not feeling with it, somehow we manage to perk you up a little bit.
Yeah,
you'll get a kick out of this. Ralph's just sent this along. John Dean, because I know you love all things Watergate.
Oh, yes.
That John Dean said, I asked ChatGPT, you know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I asked ChatGPT for the antonym of the word woke. Responses, you're going to love this, ignorant, unaware, indifferent, closed-minded, insensitive. I've seen a lot of examples of ChatGPT getting shit wrong, but this one goes in the win column. Ignorant, unaware, indifferent, closed-minded, insensitive.
Now, what did they call people who were socially aware and committed to a better future for all concerned prior to woke? The Republicans can't even think up their own words.
If it's a Republican, it's probably commies.
They've got to hijack or denigrate perfectly good concepts and terminology for fun and profit. And I doubt that they're having a lot of fun, but God knows.
Well, the denigration of the term woke has its roots in the denigration, the right-wing racism. Because the whole term was coined in the black community to talk about awareness of the way people of color have been treated in this country from jump. Whether it's the enslavement of black people, the torment of Latinx people, or certainly the attempted genocide of indigenous people. It's just barking about woke and wokeism. It's just racism. That's all it is. It's just racism. And I don't care how many times some goddamn Republican says, "Nah, I'm not a racist." You know what? If you have to explain, you're not a racist.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, on the topic of atmospheric rivers, a little help from Matt in San Francisco. Having lived here my entire life, and same with mom and dad and their mom and dad, this weather feels different. The intensity is insane. Remember, 50-mile-an-hour winds a couple of nights yesterday for Matt, trying to keep the house from blowing away.
In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And God, I got to thinking about your note, Matt, and I hope the Airstream's okay. But Matt says the intensity is insane. It's not just a lot of rain, it's crazy wind. It's also how many you get in a row. Santa Cruz is getting pounded. There's a spot where 45 homes are cut off from getting to civilization because the one road in was washed away.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I have never seen weather like this.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it's bad when the damn highways get washed out. And like you said, communities get cut off and...
Oh, and by the way, Ken says, subject line, before woke, prior to woke was social justice warrior SJW.
Oh, okay.
And now, by the way, we have a sighting because it had to happen sooner or later, and it did. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has found a way to... fold together, twist, warp, elide, transphobia and anti-fascism. And there's another example, Scott. Do you ever wonder where Antifa came from?
Well, it means anti-fascist.
Yeah, but think about why they made a thing out of it. Antifa was just short for anti-fascism. The right wing turned it around and made it Antifa to try to take the fascism aspect out of it or make it less connectable so that they could just make it a generic boogeyman. You know, it's still that way. Any right winger whose coffee is insufficiently hot will call the barista Antifa.
That's not American.
Yeah. So now what they've done in Sacramento, of all places, they had a detransition rally. This was allegedly the largest group of detransitioners ever in the history of America, the greatest country in the middle of the world. And protesters showed up because it was a fascist rally. It's a hate rally. It was Detransition Awareness Day. Yeah, that wasn't declared by the government or anything, but just the weirdos said that it was. And according to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Antifa showed up and started beating up the poor little detransitioners. This is, of course, pure bullshit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like them.
Now, the Sacramento Police Department confirmed to Fox News Digital that there are multiple active investigations related to last Friday's Antifa protest. See, they got me to an Antifa protest. in response to a gathering at the California State Capitol organized by a group that calls themselves international, nonpartisan, non-religious, and are probably not international, certainly partisan, and entirely religious, that it claims to advocate for detransitioners. Are you familiar with the concept?
What, detransitioners?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who don't want trans people to be who they are, I guess.
No, a detransitioner is, and you have to understand, if trans people are like some like something like 1% to 2% of the overall population, detransitioners are 1% of the 1% at best.
Well, then you got to explain what
they're people. They're people who tried transition and then decided it wasn't for them. But a whole bunch of detransitioners, the vast majority of detransitioners, are people who were bullied, badgered, tormented into walking away from their authentic selves in order to be able to live safely within their family or within their community because of the hate that was dumped on them. Some people do detransition, but it's like Jeremy in Vermont was talking about last night, or night before maybe, night before, about Kristen Beck, or Christian Beck, the Navy SEAL who transitioned and then turned around and said, nah, it wasn't for me, and is now being lionized across right-wing media and probably making bank off of it. So she made bank by becoming publicly trans, and then she turned around and she's making bank again by being detrans. Detrans is mostly a grift. It's just another right-wing hustle. And right-wing platforms go absolutely wild for detransitioners, even though they are minuscule and most usually not even actually not trans. I mean, just to, by way of explanation, I was a detransitioner. I tried. Back at the beginning of this century, I tried. And I was on hormones for about a year. And then just because of all the complications around my life, I had to stop. And I waited 20 years. And I'm finally able to live my authentic life. And today, by the way, Scott, just in case you're interested, I found this ironically coincidental. Today, the Ides of March, rotten day for Caesar, great day for me, because today I am 2.5 years of my transition, exactly.
Oh.
I took my first dose of hormones on September the 15th, 2020. And this is exactly 2 years and 6 months. But over in Sacramento... Well,
I've got a question about that Sacramento deal.
Yeah.
pardon me. Now, the original group were the so-called D-trans... Who was the group who was having the rally and they were...
They were a group that supports D-transers.
But they were supposedly set upon by... the evil forces of Antifa.
Well, the funny thing, though, is even if you dig down even into the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda piece, you will eventually find them paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs down into the story, you know, way far past anything that Emery and Marvelline are going to read. You know, they started having kittens with crocheted tails at the headline and didn't and you know, were in full on. Spasm after the first paragraph, so they didn't read the part where the people they interviewed said, oh, no, and Antifa never got anywhere near us. The cops kept them away. Because the cops will protect right-wing pieces of shit from Antifa, but they will not protect Antifa from right-wing pieces of shit who attack them. For all I know, if Antifa was even there, they may have been protesting something entirely different. Because they were not together. They were not in the same space.
Well, no, the question I had was, now, Sacramento is the state capital.
Correct, yes. I mean,
what And this was over the weekend?
Friday.
All right. Pre-weekend.
Yeah.
So they thought it would be a good idea. Is there some legislation on the state level that they were there to...
No, they were just there to be obnoxious and present, as far as I can tell. But the funny thing is, there's a quote in there from one of the people who attended the gross little right-wing rally that said, if police had gone in there, there would have been a riot. It was really obvious that the police were basically corralling them, Antifa, and moving them down the street away from us. They never crossed into our presence, so I felt safe the entire time, and we left safely. It's disappointing that got so much attention instead of the actual event itself. Well, they don't deserve attention. Because they are attention seekers.
Well, I don't know. I wish I had a snappy rejoinder or a succinct comment about the whole thing, but I just don't. To me, life is too fucking short.
Well, you're going to love this. This is how you know that the whole thing was a fraud. A woman there from San Carlos, California, was barking and grunting. Her name is Friday, by the way.
So like Sergeant Friday? Or?
Yeah. Trying to find what her... anyway, her name is Friday, and she said, and you know, this is always the giveaway, because they'll claim, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me. And so there it is, lo and behold, Friday was a Democrat for 37 years before voting Republican for the first time in 2022, and she said transgender ideology, there's no such thing. As it relates to minors, threatens to destroy the Democratic Party. She said the families at the rally, some of whom waved signs that read Democrats for detransition, were majority Democrat. No, they weren't. This is a classic strategy on the part of the right wing. And there it is. My party has completely abandoned us. It has completely abandoned the family, and it will never recover from this. The thing people don't understand is that this doesn't just affect a child. It affects the entire family. It affected my son, my relationship with my husband. It is a destroyer of everything it touches, and it touches everything. Oh, shut up. So you see how it works, Scott? There's no connection between Antifa and this dumbass rally. But somehow Fox News TV Radio Rwanda manages to sync them up for the benefit of the... news illiterate. Oh, and by the way, I want to go back to something News Ninja Gene sent along. Hey, Gene. I got you streaming on Alexa via Bluetooth, Gene says. Anyway, we and the carer figured that the Christmas pantomimes in the UK that little kids here go to wouldn't fly in the Mammonite states. That's a great line, the Mammonite states. Because there's usually a cross-dresser as part of the cast in the pantomimes. These are fairy tales designed to instill a love of theater in children. Gene, I don't have a Robin Kincaid email addy on Gmail. Just because I can't get that. So I haven't changed over from Bob Kincaid. So that explains that. But thank you. I didn't even think about that. I bet Claire will have something to say along those lines, too. Yeah, it's going to, you know, I wonder if they can do Midsummer Night's Dream in Florida, more particularly in Tennessee now. Because, well, Shakespeare, the original productions of Shakespeare always involved cross-dressing because women were not allowed on the stage. So women had to be played by prepubescent boys. There's that great scene in Shakespeare in Love when the boy who would otherwise be playing Juliet, his voice begins to crack. And it's a real, oh no, moment.
Who all was in that?
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jay Fiennes. I assume that since his brother spells his name R-A-L-P-H and pronounces it Rafe, that J-O-S-E-P-H must be Jafe. That's me being a bitch. Joseph Fiennes. Oh, God, it was a who's who cast. Jeffrey Rush.
I like him.
Oh, who played Elizabeth? Judi Dench played Elizabeth. And the sad thing is that was one of those Harvey Weinstein productions that was completely ruined by his pervy, imprisoned ass. I think that's where he, that's one of the instances in which he sexually abused Gwyneth Paltrow. Maybe that's why Gwyneth Paltrow now sells jade eggs and vagina candles. I don't know.
What's the name of that catalog that she's got?
Goop.
Goop, yeah. See, I just don't... As a matter of fact, when I used to take graphic arts in high school and was learning like silk screening and offset printing and all photography and various forms of printing besides offset, the surest way to get printer's ink off your hands,
yeah,
was this product called Goop.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
You remember Goop? They probably had it in shop class, too, if you had
wasn't it petroleum-based?
It was always cold. I remember that. It'd be a blistering hot day in the surrounding area, and you'd unscrew the cap on the jar, big old jar, like a big old industrial tub of cold cream, dip out a little goop, a little bit.
Maybe I'm thinking of gunk.
No, I don't know.
I've seen gunk and I've seen goop.
Well, years ago, there was a famous vaudeville team, Goop and Gump. Goop and Gunk. And they argued for years over who got top billing.
You're doing it again.
I can't help it. I just can't help it. Now, getting back to Sacramento.
Yes.
The people who were there for their protest were the anti-detransitioners. Is that what you were calling them?
No. Well, the idiots rallying were detransitioners.
Okay. So it was their deal. But the other people who were there in protest of them... That is a usual, I don't know what it's like in other parts of the country nowadays, but I know during the run-up to the Iraq invasion, when we would go to rallies and demonstrations and things here in San Diego, up in Balboa Park and all that, and even downtown, we had a couple of marches down there. There were always groups from other viewpoints, very, very much smaller in number, but they were there kind of to protest us. And that's not atypical. You're in California and perhaps in other parts of the country as well. What was the outcome? Were there any injured, any arrests?
There were some arrests. I guess one guy went around beating the shit out of people. The Sacramento PD says they're investigating people. Friday said that she saw somebody coming out of the Antifa crowd all bloodied. But this, you know, Antifa only shows up when fascists are already there. Antifa doesn't just do stuff. Antifa responds to people like the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff who are street brawling fascists. And some of the detransitioners stood on the steps of the Capitol and told their story. And see, the thing is, the protesters weren't even Antifa. The protesters were a group called Pride Was a Riot. And all they did was march down N Street near the Legislative Office Building to protest the event. That's from the actual recording or reporting from the Sacramento Bee. On the other hand, have you ever heard of the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a Chinese?
Yeah, it is. It's a Chinese propaganda outlet.
Yeah.
In fact, a maggot congressman got busted in a hearing a couple of weeks ago for citing to the Epoch Times in questioning a Pentagon witness. Well, the article says protesters hit observers with clubs and at least four journalists were assaulted as they documented the chaos, according to a reporter on the ground from the Epoch Times. So Fox News actually quotes and cites as true Chinese propaganda.
Well, it's got to be a lot of crap because, I mean, since when has that side been even remotely interested in the welfare of journalists?
That is to say, not at all. Yeah, it's a load of shit. But it is interesting to see that a group called Pride...
Wait a minute. If you're going to call it something, call it a hot, steaming, fly-surrounded load of shit.
Yes, fly-specked.
Fly-specked, yes. There you go.
Fly-blown. Load of shit.
There you go.
Because, yeah, I mean, the headline, and again, you know, this is a nice little lesson in phony journalism. Detransitioning rally turns violent when Antifa shows up. But then they said, but it turns out the group was Pride Was a Riot, which we have Fox News to depend upon to say that they are Antifa affiliated. Now, if it was Antifa, or in this case, Pride Was a Riot, they're not going to show up. Because a bunch of peaceful detransitioners are talking. The only way they show up is because there are anti-LGBTQ people there. You see the distinction?
Yeah. In other words, they're not there to start shit, but they're there in case shit happens. And they can appropriately react. Is that pretty much the lay of the land?
Kind of, yeah. Now, on the other hand, this is a story of a real journalist, and this is down in Florida.
How many hands have you got?
You don't want to know. I've already got five fingers on one hand. I made that clear earlier. And I can't wait to see everything everywhere all at once because there's all this talk about people with hot dog fingers.
Hot dogs would be great wrong about now.
Yeah, mustard. Good mustard. I'm a mustard snob. Good mustard.
Some chili dogs.
Yeah, with some good mustard, some onions.
Oh, no. Can't do the onions.
Damn.
I'll have a relapse.
No, so there's a journalist in...
Can I substitute those for onion rings?
Sure, if you can do onion rings, that's fine. There's a reporter for Axios Montgomery.
Will you bring me some?
They'd be cold by the time I got them there.
Well, now, what's up with that? You're no fun. No, go ahead.
My superpowers are in the shop. So, Monkey Up Duclantis hosted a Department of Education event, and
a misnamed agency down there.
Yeah, no kidding. And the event was all about exposing the diversity, equity, and inclusion scam in higher education. And so it went out to someone named Ben Montgomery, a reporter for Axios. And he responded via email to the announcement by saying, this is propaganda, not a press release. And this will not be tolerated in Monkey Ups, Florida. And one of his spokes creeps said in response, is this journalism? And so now Ben Montgomery has been fired. For exactly that, for calling propaganda propaganda.
Yet another reason not to live in the Sunshine State.
Or maybe the Dumbshine State.
Well, I don't have the energy for it. I know that these places exist, these people exist. I know that they're up to no good. And other than calling them out and speaking truth to their perceived power, I don't know what else you can do. Well, I do know one thing you can do is vote every time you have a chance and take a few people with you and vote as if you've got some sense. But even that's not a sure thing in a lot of places.
It's always a matter of you can try to vote and you can hope your vote counted. You live in a place where you know that your vote counts. I don't.
Well, what do you do about that?
Vote anyway.
Well, either that or it'll take a while to do it, but sooner or later, these people are up for re-election. And if you have candidates, but then again, if you're dealing with an electorate who half the time they don't give a shit or don't show up or both, and there's no long, I mean, not anymore, but there used to be a tradition in West Virginia back when it was a reliably Democratic state and the people were, they were attuned to what the deal was. Well, now they not only don't know what the deal is, but they have been systematically engineered and misinformed or ill-informed. So they don't know which end is up. They don't know what the fuck's going on. And a lot of it is designed toward that end, because you don't want people engaging in their own, you know, lives and futures. No, we can't have that. Which makes me glad I don't live West Virginia either. I mean, I'd love to be neighbors and come and borrow a cup or something, but, you know, I don't know that I can pay the freight. Hell, sometimes it's hard enough living in a blue state, believe it or not. Because we're not, well, I mean, Sacramento, that's up the road a ways. Same state. Isn't that where Limbaugh had his big springboard into national prominence? He was on some...
way back then he would say... And let me explain this, my friends, for the people in Rio Linda.
Rio Linda, jeez. We have a lot
I hate
Rio
that I can so easily slide into that voice.
Well, just so you don't slide into the line for pineapples. Still
wait a minute.
There.
Well played.
Thank you. Thank you. Even from my sick bed, I'm able to outdo.
Yeah, we need to do there. Something about that. I mean, I meant to ask you, are you getting around better? Gut issues notwithstanding.
Well, I was telling my brother the other night, you know.
This would be the sane one, the good one?
Yeah, I can get up and dance if I want to. My leg's feeling that well. But the rest of me seems to be creaking and wobbly. But it's temporary. It's only a paper moon hanging over a cardboard sea. It wouldn't be make-believe if you belonged to me. I love that song. You ever see that movie, Ryan O'Neal and his daughter, Tatum?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, what a wonderful movie. There's not a bad performance in that film. I'll bet you that'd make me feel better. Order that thing up and sit and watch that for an hour and a half. Oh, God, what a great movie. I'm sorry. I'm free associating all
no, that. Listen, we started out with Scary Jerry's apocalyptic vision. I think we're okay.
If I put us on a more even keel into a more basal state?
I don't know. It might have been oregano.
No, that's a medical term, old-fashioned medical term.
I know. Play on words. Basil.
Yeah, I know. Don't get spicy on us, Robin. Anyway. Jesus.
Oh, well played.
They're going to wish my groceries would get here. The reason being, I ordered a moderate-sized tub of this pre-made potato salad, Reese's. Have you ever had?
Oh, yeah, we've got that.
Oh, my God, I love that stuff. I just love that stuff. That'll be good.
Try the Amish potatoes, the Amish potato salad.
Do they make that?
I think they do. Well, I see it in the Walmart brand. And no, not the Amish. No. The deviled egg potato salad.
Yeah, that's what I ordered.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Put a little seasoned salt on there and a little.
And you know what? There's a seasoning you might want to look into. I first discovered it at Trader Joe's, but I've found it on Amazon since. Umami seasoning.
Who?
Scott, umami seasoning. You know, the other flavor.
I don't know.
It was identified and sort of classified and taxonomized by the Japanese. And it's a powder seasoning, and it's got all kinds of different flavors in it, and it just makes things sing in your mouth.
Start with an O or a U?
U. U M A M I.
Say it again. U M
A M I.
U M A M I.
Umami. Oh, and by the way, the movie that had Adam Sandler in it, the jewel heist that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Brother Deacon Asa said that was uncut gems. That was a deep flick.
Yes, it was quite good, as I recall.
And I screwed up. The Global Times was the Chinese propaganda organ that the maggot congressman cited. The Epoch Times, Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm pretty sure, is the love child of the Falun Gong cult and the American right wing.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't make it any more reliable.
Jesus.
Brother Deacon Asa is a font of information.
Yeah, he is. He certainly is, Ollie. Well, I hate to do this, Robin, but I feel as if I'm not adding anything to the program, and maybe it's just from the way that I'm feeling. But I'm
no, you're fine. I'm just sorry you're feeling, as we say here in the hills, puny.
It's what we call a heavy lift for me today, Robin.
That's okay.
And but I've been out of the loop with the phone problem. And I don't know. I guess I even ordered. See, I use these earbuds, but I use the earbuds with the 3.5 millimeter jack on them because I use my earbuds for other devices. And for the phone, I've got an adapter that you plug the 3x5 into and then the lightning connector into the iPhone. Do you follow me on
that? Yeah, I do. I've got something similar to that. I've got what I'm talking to you through right now is a 3.5 male plug into the Rodecaster, and there's a 3.5 male plug on the other end, and I've got it connected to a 3.5 female receptacle, and it in turn goes into the USB-C port on the iPad. But the thing is, it's not the we're into radio crap again. It's not the usual tip ring sleeve, which gives you, no, it's TRRS, tip ring ring sleeve, so that you get full duplex back and forth. Did any of that make sense?
The third dongle, I got lost. I veered off to the other side.
Yeah, the whole cord is TRRS, so that it's not just talk, it's talk and hear. So you've got proper telephony. Oh, and by the way, Randy Radar points out it's the fifth taste umami is. Salty, sweet, sour, and bitter are the first four, and then umami. There was a bit of a debate whether it really, but I think everybody pretty much agrees now that umami is the fifth taste. Salty, sweet, sour, bitter, and umami. But that umami seasoning is amazing.
Well, what had happened was when I was having the audio issues previously,
yeah,
last week, what I thought was my little adapter of thing had gone bad. So I ordered a couple of new ones of those, and tried them, and everything works fine now. So I don't know. Like I say, the gremlins, you know how they are. The electronic gremlins are just no fun. You don't want them anywhere near your devices.
Oh, you don't? No. In fact, at some point in time, I'm going to have to replace this adapter because there's a short in it somewhere.
Well, we can't have that. That will interfere with the clarity on your broadcast.
Hi, Clarity.
I knew you would say that.
Of course, it was the setup. By the way, you got a note from Jude in the Great Northwest.
Hey, Jude.
Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Again, with the setups. Just tuned in to hear Scott engaging with you. He finally made it on the air. Sounds slightly tired, yet his humor remains intact. Be well, Scott and Robin, warmly, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Jude. And Randy Radar explains a TRRS cord has two rings on the shaft. Yes.
Apparently, I've never seen one of those because
an RCA quarter inch RCA plug,
yeah,
is TRS. The extra ring gives you the back and forth of full duplex communications.
Now, where is this ring that you're talking about?
Well, you remember a headphone plug, quarter inch, right?
Oh, you mean the little markings near the indentation?
Yeah.
In the shaft of the thing. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I never knew what they did.
If you go back into the guts of it, the wire has three wires in a TRS, tip, ring, and sleeve. Well, this cord has tip, ring, ring, sleeve.
I'm stunned. You apparently have researched this thoroughly.
Well, necessity is a mother. We started all of this almost 20 years ago thinking we were going to do it as a traditional radio broadcast. We were going to be on the air. And then it didn't. And so a lot of people over the years have helped me in myriad different ways. And I've learned to build computers. I can solder the tip ring sleeve of a quarter inch plug. I can write a little bit of code. And that's all because other people took me under their wing and taught me these things. Pretty amazing, really, when you think about it.
Well, you learn by doing. That's what they say. I don't know who they are, but then again, they don't know who I am, so we're even.
Well, some are even no longer with us. Bob Lottie taught me how to get down into the root of C and unscrew a computer. And Peter Godbold taught me how to build computers.
Yeah, I kind of marvel at people who can do that.
Well, I'm just a humble English major. I was supposed to just be the talent and sit behind the microphone and talk.
Yeah, but necessity is the mother, as you say.
Yeah, a mother. I mean, well, our buddy Frank in California, Fab, provided the wherewithal to build the current computer that we're on that has been running nonstop, just about, for 5 years or more. He made sure we built it to last, and it remains to this day the Fab machine.
Yeah, the fabulous Fab machine.
Yeah, Randy Radar understands. Yeah, the second ring in a TRRS is for a microphone. You've got input and output. Man, we're in the weeds.
We certainly are, Ollie.
And speaking of which, I have made a note. When I get to D.C., that I will be going to Ollie's Trolley. I looked them up. They're still a going concern.
Well, I hope that my build-up has been realistic and that you'll find them to be everything that I thought they were.
I do, too. Well, a great hamburger is one of life's simple pleasures.
Oh, yeah.
Do they do anything fancy? Do they have like a special sauce or something? Or
yeah, the sauce is one thing, and I think it's part of it is the way that they season the burgers.
Okay, because there's a chain in Central Alabama called Milo's, and in fact, some people may have seen in their grocery store Milo's gallon jugs of sweet tea. Well, their tea was so, and it's the best pre-made tea you can buy, you know, cold. It became so popular that they went out into stores with it. And it's delightful. But it actually comes from a hamburger joint. And, God, I love Milo's hamburgers because they are served with brown gravy, cheese, and pickles.
Yum.
And they are sloppy and messy and freaking delicious.
Oh, those are the best kind.
And then there's the burger at the Smokehouse Pool Hall, where I grew up. And they make the best chili cheeseburger I've ever had in my life. Everybody thinks of chili dogs, but seldom chili cheeseburgers. But chili cheeseburgers are heavenly.
Although you can't beat a good chili dog.
Oh, no. No, no.
Well, listen, I hate to do this, but I am going to go.
You go. I understand. I hope we made your life a little more bearable with this conversation.
Well, I hope that I didn't bring the level of conversation down to...
Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't.
My energy is way low.
I understand that. Believe you. Believe you me.
Well, I believe you. I've never doubted you. Yeah,
and so we will collectively lay the healing hands of faith on you, this being prayer meeting Wednesday. foul just, demons. Get out. Get out.
No, seriously, horn people, send me positive energy of
vibes,
of,
yeah.
Of well-being and vibrancy.
And the next time we talk, I will tell you about discovering my grandmother's stash of books she bought because she heard about them on PTL.
Oh, my God.
You're not. God. You're not well enough for that right now, Scott.
No, you. I would be. They'd have to call the rescue squad.
Yeah, you'd be drinking. You'd be drinking entire shots of Imodium.
Oh man, this on the rocks.
All right. With a Pepto Bismol back. Yeah, anyway, I got gotcha. You.
If the Horn folks would just send a lot of positive. Uplifting vibes of vibrancy, if that's not a redundancy.
All you could possibly want.
I appreciate that. And a couple of days, I'll be fit as a fiddle. So there.
Very well.
Right now, I'm just a sagging, dumpy viola or viola, whichever it is. The instrument is the viola. The lady's name is Viola, right?
Viola, yes.
Anyway. But anyway, you take care and stay well. And Horn family, thank you for your forbearance.
Scott, you get well. You and be feeling better.
Stay out of Sacramento if you know what's good for you.
Trust me, I'm not going to Sacramento.
Oh, come on. Come on out to California.
Well, California, yes. Sacramento, no.
Yeah, well, that's true. We need you out here for a visit so you can go down and get one of our organic, our world famous organically grown snow cones down at the beach.
That would be fantastic.
Take you home, Robin. They'll take you home.
Scott, right. Be good. Feel better, okay?
Thanks. You be well.
All right. Bye. Oh, I'm so sorry if Scott feels puny, craptastic, awful, bad. So, yeah, please. Please send our dear friend Scott all of your good energies. I have received another missive, dare we say, on this prayer meeting Wednesday, another epistle from Scary Jerry, more memoirs. I'm providing this content for the show in a serialized format. I'm doing drips and drops as the dollar drops into your virtual purse. As I write this time, I need you in my life blaring day and night. I need you on the air, Robin. Selfish self-involvement. My dad's sick in the hospital, so I'm trying to keep it positive. Here goes. Excerpt. So let's eat all the pie and dance in the purple rain. I was going to use the skin of a cat or two birds with one stone metaphor, but those are terrible metaphors or idioms, and in my crazy-ass mind, every time you use it, someone in hell is skinning my cat. Jesus said, let your yeas be yeas and your noes be noes. Words have power and weight both above and below. Both in heaven and hell, your words live on. They're a memory and a contract. Your words are your champions or your sentence and curse. So, someone is metaphorically invoking the more than one way to skin a cat hell clause. Imagine Richard Nixon or Rush Limbaugh in a cat suit, and they're being anally raped by a rotating, shout out to the Bronx, where we'd imagine something like this, giraffe-sized, hell-based replica metal cat duck dick, think barbs and spears. And the final encore is their skin is skinned off of them. Thousands of times, with no death in sight and all the requisite pain. And the whole ordeal is repeated over and over again. You know what? Forget about the cat-skinning, cat-dick-rape thing for a second. Rush Limbaugh and Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump bought us all floor-side tickets to this shit show. He made it all possible. Jimmy Carter, on the other hand, is going to heaven. When Jimmy is rising up the celestial staircase, they're actually going to stop raping Rush Limbaugh with the metal cat dick. They'll tell old Tricky Dick to stop the raping. Tricky rotating metal dick, he is into butt rape. The fact that he's raping his biggest prophet, Rushbo, is the irony, the magic, and the cosmic fuck you that is hell. In true Republican fashion, Tricky Barb Dick is screwing his biggest supporter. Boom. Anyways. You know, Jerry, and I mean this as a compliment, my friend, I haven't read anything like that since I finished Naked Lunch oh so many years ago, wherein the band Steely Dan found its name. That's a hell of a thing. But most importantly, I hope your dad gets better. So send him all that healing, positive energy. Yeah, Ralph said, "Oh my God, Scary Cherry." And I'm pretty sure Ralph said that in a good way. And speaking of in a good way, we actually had this, once again, we're out on straight road, ahead of the curve. We've actually had this conversation in the past. And I know there are people in our community who say, "Oh, pshaw," every time there's another news story about the imminent indictment of Donald J. Trump. The J stands for jailbird. The fact is, and that august group would include our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor and Flavio up in Wisconsin. And there's reason for their cynicism. Because people have been waiting for Donald Trump to be indicted since God was a baby and Christ was a corporal in the army of God. And he always seems to skip and to skate to, in fact, be the Rollo Tomasi from L.A. Confidential, the guy who always gets away with it. I saw one article saying that even if he is indicted, it's too damn late. It won't matter. And you know what? That may be true. I think, though, if we are going to go forward with having anything that we vaguely resembles a system of justice, we're going to have to indict him. And so I still hope that he is. And so I've got a story here from Business Insider that, like I said, tracks with something we talked about quite a while back. And the headline reads, "No, Ron DeSantis can't stop Donald Trump's extradition from Florida to New York if he's indicted. Here's how it would go down." And so, like I said, good news. And the question then, now arises, given the political situation, Monkey Up hasn't declared, but everybody says he's going to run, so who am I? But with that being the case, would Monkey Up even lift a finger to save him if he was indicted and extradited? I mean, I think that's an open question. Jacob Shamsian at Business Insider says, "The day may finally come. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office offered former President Donald Trump the chance to testify before a grand jury, signaling it may soon bring a criminal indictment against him. The District Attorney's Office spent years investigating Trump's finances and is now poised to bring charges over falsified records related to his payments to Stormy Daniels. Remember, Michael Cohen himself has gone and testified before that grand jury." And just recently, so that does really, and he's the one who facilitated the payoff. And I guess Nitwit Nero now has some sort of strange defense. He's actually thrown melanoma under the bus. And it's the damnedest affirmative defense that I've ever heard. Word on the street, I hate that phrase, is that Nitwit Nero will claim that he did not pay off Stormy Daniels. Well, he'll admit that he paid off Stormy Daniels. He kind of can't get out of that. But that it wasn't political. That, in fact, he was trying to avoid being avoid humiliating melanoma, that that's why he paid the hush money to keep keep melanoma from finding out that he was a disgusting, lying, sleazy shitbag. But that doing that might actually get him out of hot water. I can't imagine that's going to work well inside Shea Trump. But then again, melanoma doesn't sleep with him anymore. Remember the story about her locking her door in the White House residence? Well, Jacob Shamsian lays out the means by which he will be hailed into New York, and if he does not go peacefully, and volunteer for his booking. Shamsian writes, lawyers for Bragg's office would tell Trump's lawyers, and they'd mutually agree on a time and place, probably the district attorney's office at 1 Hogan Place in downtown Manhattan, to book him, take his fingerprints, and shoot his mugshot. Michael Bochner, a New York-based lawyer and a former assistant district attorney in Manhattan, said they'll take him upstairs, they'll put him in a holding area, they'll process him internally, and then he'll be brought in front of the judge several hours later, and he'll be released on his own recognizance. And that'll be that. That's if he complies voluntarily. Oh, and thank you so much, Ralphs. Thank you to Ralphs and to Barbara in Philly. You have kept this from being a goose egg day. Thank you so much. We are down to $500 even in fundraising, down from $570. Thank you so very much to both of you. Randy Radar says the dropping of a New York charge by the DA was a tell. Trump is being protected. But the thing is, Alvin Bragg is the DA in Manhattan, and he's the one who is expected to bring the indictment over the Stormy Daniels matter. So if he does not go peacefully, Michael Bochner, whom Jacob Shamsian interviewed, said, it would just be, in my opinion, like the epitome of stupid. But I do agree that Trump has at times certainly exhibited conduct that many of us would characterize as, well, stupid. So if he doesn't show up voluntarily, the state of New York will extradite him. And actually, federal law requires interstate extradition under Article 4, Section 2 of the Constitution. And if he is extradited, and this is the reason he will probably go voluntarily, I mean, surely to God, one of his god-awful lawyers, whether it's the counsel for the parking garage or whoever, has explained to him that if he goes the extradition route, he will spend days in jail, at least hours. Tamara Holder is a lawyer out of Florida, and she told Insider, the indictment and the charges are not going to go away. This is an early stage of a criminal proceeding, and it's very important that you present yourself to the court early on as somebody who's going to fight the case and not fight the extradition. And so in the final analysis, Monkey Up can slow the extradition down, but he cannot stop it. The DA in Manhattan would present the indictment to the legal counsel in the office of New York Governor Kathy Hochul. And then she, in for her part, would send a written extradition bill to Monkey Up. And these things are fancy. I once had to deal with an extradition on a felony from West Virginia to somewhere. I can't remember. But it has a big wax seal and a ribbon on it. And it says, "To His Excellency, the Governor of Florida, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis." And it's signed by Her Excellency, the Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. The extradition warrant will say that there is a warrant out for the arrest of Donald John Trump in the state of New York. Once it reaches Monkey Up, Monkey Up ascertains that the thing is real. That's why you put the ribbons and the seals and the Spencerian copper plate handwriting on it. Florida has an extradition statute. All Monkey Up can do is make sure that the extradition warrant is real and meets legal muster. Back to Tamara Holder. She said, "The governor doesn't have the power to stop an extradition. The governor's office's only involvement is to look at the papers and make sure that the papers are proper to issue the warrant." So he really has no power to stop the extradition or to give safe harbor to Nitwit Nero and let him live out his days in Mar-a-Lardass. Because the other fun thing about this is that if he were to travel, if Monkey Up were to even try to give him asylum in Florida, that would mean that Monkey Up could never, I mean, that would mean that Nitwit Nero could never leave the state of Florida. Because there will be an extradition warrant waiting for him in every state in the country. Holder went on to say, "Florida's a state where the Republicans really protect each other from these Democratic states like New York. So I think it'll be really interesting legally to see what steps they're going to take here in Florida to protect him outside of this statute if they can." But the best part of this is that Florida has another process that bypasses the governor. A warrantless prerequisition arrest. And New York prosecutors could conceivably use it to arrest Nitwit Nero in Florida. New York authorities would arrest Trump in Florida and take him in front of a judge for a probable cause hearing to prove he was criminally charged in New York with a felony. The judge would then order Trump's extradition, and his Secret Service detail would probably travel with him. The only question is, who would go and make the arrest? The likely answer being that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office would make a request to the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office to go and take down Julius Geezer. So at least there's hope that this may play out. And he may wind up doing some traveling if Fonnie Willis in Atlanta gets to stay on the job and drops an indictment anytime soon. And based on that strange young woman who started yakking about it, it sounds like they said that, yes, he should be indicted. It just didn't make it into the report. Randy Radar says, "Trump will offer DeSantis the vice president position. What then?" he can't, the monkey up can't stop it. He does not have the power. He simply cannot stop the extradition to New York of Nitwit Nero. Because if he does, then he won't be able to, he won't be able to extradite anybody into Florida. And remember, the Florida legislature wants to make it possible legally to kidnap children from other states and give them to their parents in Florida, despite any court order to the contrary relating to the child's custody. That's one of the fundamental problems we face with our so-called justice system, insofar as it requires a certain amount of belief in the system. I've always called it the Tinkerbell theory. If you don't believe in Tinkerbell, Tinkerbell dies. If you don't believe in the Constitution and the systems around it, it will collapse. I find this stuff absolutely fascinating. I really do. And just one more, because this is just, well, we haven't had a Rand Paul and that thing on his head story in a while. You know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. He's the ranking member on the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And he got up and stormed out of a committee markup hearing today, this morning, when he got into it with the chairman of the committee, Gary Peters of Michigan, over amendments to a bill. The bill was the Fire Grants and Safety Act. And Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, got upset because Gary Peters knows the damned rules and wouldn't let him run over him and offer a bunch of bullshit amendments. Every time the Republicans offered an amendment, Gary Peters offered up a second-degree amendment to the amendment. And every one of his second-degree amendments completely nullified the amendment itself. And pouting, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, said, "If this is the way you're going to run a committee, I would suggest the Republicans leave. I don't see why we should stick around if you're going to make up the rules." The only problem was, he wasn't making up the rules. He was using the rules. The fact that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is such a dipshit that he doesn't know the rules is not on Gary Peters. Oh, but thank God Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema is on the committee. She said, "You know, I think we should all take a couple of minutes, lower the temperature, just figure out the procedure." Hon, Gary Peters knows the procedure. He's actually pretty good at this. And she went on and said, "There's no need for us to turn this committee hearing into a partisan, ugly place like we've seen in other committees." Honey, the only people making this a partisan, ugly place are the maggots. Josh Hall, an ass, and that incredibly strange man, James Lankford from Oklahoma, Stan, stuck around after Rand Paul pouted and stormed out and voted against the amendments that the Republicans already offered and that Gary Peters trashed. The only reason Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is the ranking member on that committee is because Rob Portman of Ohio retired. And pouting, the acolyte of Aqua Buddha said, "This is the first time we've had a hearing since I've been here that I know of that we've gotten second-degree amendments on every one of our amendments." tough shit, dumbass. And James Langford pouted along with him and said, typically in that committee, we just have votes. When we can't work it out behind the scenes, we have a vote and not replace someone's vote. We got to actually take votes. You know what Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, was pissed about? He offered up an amendment that would make fire departments ineligible for federal grants if that fire department had terminated any firefighter for refusing a COVID vaccine or running his COVIDiot mouth about a vaccine mandate. And the only way a fire department could get it back, get the grants back, or be eligible again, would be to give the COVIDiot firefighter his job back and back pay. And then he raised, again, under a firefighting act, this is just what a complete and total jackass Rand Paul is. He offered another amendment that would block National Institutes of Health from funding from going toward gain-of-function research on COVID viruses in Wuhan. Listen, as soon as I figure out what that has to do with firefighting, I'll let you know. If you figure it out, you let me. And this is where it gets funny. With that amendment, Gary Peters turned around and offered an amendment that prohibited any money in the Fire Grants and Safety Act, quote, from being provided to a Chinese fire... Woo! From being provided to a Chinese fire department! Oh, that pissed off Randy Paul so much. That doesn't make any sense. This is legislative leisure domain to obscure the fact that you're trying not to vote directly on this. Good God. It's a good thing they're no good at this. But God, if you ever had a moment where you got the fantods just thinking about 2024's election cycle and the 23, 24 seats that Democrats have to defend against the 10 that Republicans have to defend. Y'all, this is it. Start working now. And so that's it. That's Prayer Meeting Wednesday for this Ides of March 2023. Hope you enjoyed it. I did. Thanks so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to Ralphs and thank you to Barbara. Thank you so much for keeping this from being a goose egg. I so appreciate it. So does the entire community. Roxanne and Megan, get well. Get well, get well, get well, get well. Quickly, please. Get well, Scary Jerry's dad. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, for being in the chat room this evening. Thank you so much. I didn't see if... Brother Bishop Steve, all-around great guy from Georgistan, popped by. Yes, he did. Hey, Steve, soup. Thanks to our news ninjas. Good to hear from you this evening, Gene. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe and comment. And, you know, you can subscribe to help fund the program, too. That'd be great. Make sure you press that like, that heart button on the TuneIn player if you listen that way, because that way we'll know that, well, that way we'll grow the program, and we're aiming for 1,000 likes in that regard. We're a little north of 700 now. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest folks I know, the people at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Waiting on good news about the reintroduction of the AIC Act. That's what I'll be working on when I'm in D.C. 2 weeks from now. Stay safe. Please, get your booster. Don't be like Randy Paul. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your masks. There's a lot of ivermectin-rubbing maggot weirdos yet out there. Viral as hell. I'm taking a fresh box of masks with me to D.C., that's for sure. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. I need to lay in a supply of that for my purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes babbling, you know, somebody with a thing on his head comes babbling towards you down the sidewalk, some hollering something about Chinese fire departments, avoid that libertarian ophthalmologist like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.